With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. In 1620, the Pilgrim Fathers and the Mayflower set sail from Plymouth to explore the New World. More than 400 years later, Darren from Plymouth explores today's new world. Darren from Plymouth is D.D. Denslow, and he's digging deeper on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to TNT Radio. Yes, you're with me, D.D. Denslow, on Digging Deeper. And I've got, I keep saying, oh, this is my last week. It's my last week of a two-hour show. It's my last week of a one-hour show. It's my last week of a three-hour show. I don't know, but I'm just going to say this is my last week for a two-hour show as far as I am aware. So please join me every day, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. I've got some great guests lined up. I've got Lelaney coming back. Dr. Cartland is on. I've got Kat Linley coming up today at 2 p.m. to talk about transsexual prisoners terrorizing the Scottish penitentiary system. And we'll also be having a look at what's been going on, or what really is going on, with the Pfizer story and the information that's been trapped or dragged out of some diversity hire who was on a Grindr date, explaining that, you know, Pfizer are deliberately creating or directing the evolution of viruses so that they can then sell the necessary solution or vaccine. And first up at 1 p.m., a guy that I met whilst at the event in Kegworth that I attended. Very good event, very successful event. I've got Tim coming on. He's a happy camper, although I've been told off already for saying happy camping. He's more of a carry-on camper, but he is also an ex-military guy and a close protection officer. I think I've got that right. So well, maybe touching on what's going on with the UK military, what's going on in Ukraine, as well as some of the camping festivals that he's been organizing. Now, we just listened to Patrick, who was also at that this event this weekend. In fact, I was sat on the train station waiting to leave at 11 o'clock in the morning as he arrived. So it was like the changing of the TNT guard Saturday morning. Quite a weird situation. Anyway, Patrick was just talking about what's going on with the 77th. It was always a conspiracy. The 77th didn't exist. The UK military weren't involved in psychological operations on social media. They weren't involved in getting people shut down, cancelled, or, as Patrick said, harassed. And I can assure you, I've been calling it out for quite a long time. The amount of abuse and hatred I was getting from probably employees of mine, because I pay taxes and therefore they work for me, it turns out to be true. And there is one man in particular who needs to be called out as responsible, or having a large portion of responsibility for the activities of the 77th Brigade, and it's none other than Tobias New World Order Elwood. And here is, I've got his tweet. It goes back a few years. Delighted to be promoted to Lieutenant Colonel as a reservist in the 77th Brigade. An honour to continue serving in Her Majesty's Armed Forces, the most professional in the world. And then he put civis passum parabellum, which is in a language that I don't understand, but I'm sure it's probably something New World Order related. Heads need to roll for this. They've been spying on the public, been spying on the journalists, been spying on anybody with a decent following on social media. And I suspect myself and Patrick, Rick Munn, other members of the TNT staff, as well as some of our guests, are likely to be on a list somewhere. And I just want to make this quick point before I go to my live reader. If you're not on a list, if by the end of 2020, you weren't on a 77th Brigade list, then you're obviously not paying attention and you're doing something wrong. So they're still out there. They're still parading around, pretending to be hidden, these bot accounts, these spam accounts on Twitter and social media. So continue to speak out, put out the truth as much as you can, and then hopefully, fingers crossed, you will be put on the list like everybody else. If you have any suggestions for a possible guest or host that you'd like to hear on TNT Radio, or perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss, then we want to hear from you. Simply complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website, which is tntradio.live. While you're on there, buy yourself some hoodies, some mugs, some bloody phone covers and whatever else we've got on there. Get some merch, help support TNT. Got a live chat which I check throughout the show. Go on there, send us a message. You can send us messages on the suggestion form, on the soapbox, or you can contact me by email, darren@tntradio.live. I always look forward to some of the emails that I get, unless they're from flat earthers, and then I just delete. So come right with us on TNT Radio.
Covering the world's news.
I like to hear what's going on around the world.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to TNT Radio. You're with me, DD Denslow. And before me, I have a Mr. Tim Gill. He was a guest at the event at Kegworth, the comedy event that we both went to. We had a bit of a chat because I did call out the UK military in my brief stint opening up the show. I was the first person to speak, which is always good to hear my voice first. Tim, how are you, mate?
Really good, thank you very much. Yeah, nice and relaxed day. I've got my coffee, I'm ready to go. Yeah, first thing, great meeting you at the weekend. It was a great event, wasn't it? I mean, such a fantastic sort of atmosphere there. And I think it can be said that we get that every time when we have these meetups, these gatherings, these events with like-minded people. I think that's the important part, is that if we keep doing these events, you know, we kind of raise those vibrations and all good things like that, of course. Brilliant event. I loved what you did with the interview with Chris. I thought it went really well. lots of, you know, things that can go wrong, will go wrong, and all things like that. And I think it was true professional throughout all that, and I loved it. I was actually tempted, you know, to get on stage. I'm not really much of a showman. However, I think some people might differ on that, because I think the subjects that you talked about was really important. And I think maybe if we could do something like that again, maybe cover some of the subjects today, I think that'd be really productive. But yeah, would you like me to give a quick intro, quick bio?
Yeah, introduce yourself to the audience, to, you know, who you are, what you're about. You're an ex-military guy, but also you do, I am a massive, not a massive camper, but I really, really do like camping when it's a bit sunnier, sun's coming out, and I like my wild camping. I like doing hiking and stuff. So tell us about your camping festivals that you've been doing for the awake people. So who you are and what you're doing now, mate.
Well, firstly, camping's not for everybody. So what I will say, you know, it is a bit nice when it's nicer weather, of course, isn't it? But we tend to find people just kind of get there and make provisions. I mean, we have people that are camping in tents, bell tents, people come in vans, motorhomes, and quite a few people actually sleep in their car because they just want to be there. But anyway, going back a little bit, started it about 2 years ago, early 2021, because of, I suppose, an instinct. I mean, in particular, the last sort of fast forward to where we are now, I kind of, you know, people say, why did it start? How did it start? I think it started because it was a necessity to do it. Nobody else was doing it at that point. And it was really just started off as a bit of a camping weekend for 20 of us. That's all it started, you know. And as the information kind of got out there, look, we're going to, you know, we're going to have a camping weekend up in Cumbria. It's where we did it first. The interest grew from there. So for an idea of 20 of us, it then grew to 40, 50 of us. Mm-hmm. And then as we start progressing with that, I then started sort of looking a bit more into the logistics of it. So we ended up getting a marquee and portaloos and all logistical sort of things like to get it up and running. Fast forward to the first festival that we did in the June of 2021. As I said, from an idea of 20 of us, we had over 200 people arrive for it. And then that same year, we decided that we'll do it again in the August. We had over 400 people arrive. And it was just fantastic, you know. Fast forwarded again to last April, And we had over 1,100 people arrive. And it just makes it, it's lots of hard work, as you can imagine. I mean, I'm the guy sort of sat behind the laptop 12 hours a day on the phone, getting it all organized. But it's not really my festival, it's their festival. It's very much a community producing effort. Everybody's got something to contribute. And that's what makes it unique and very special. There's certain things that we do at the festival that make it very awake. And, you know, I don't really sort of have a website. I don't go massively on any big promo, because what we're looking for is for the right people to be there. And so far, so good. What type of festival is it? Well, it's a bit of everything, really. We kind of cover quite a lot of the demographics. We start the day off with a morning river swim. And we have lots of meditation, spirituality, the gongs and breath work and all good things like that for the woo-woo. And I say woo-woo with much affection. So we have a healing land there. We also have things that are more sort of practical. We have a chap there called Brent Hawaii. He's a very, very good friend of mine, and he does the bushcraft. So he's called the survival guy, and he's absolutely fantastic what he did. And he's integral to what we do there. And he was there at the very start, you know. It was Brent who rang and then said, look, we need a bit of land. Find me an awake type farmer stroke landowner. And he did. And that's how we first started it. So, yes, yeah, so we have bushcraft there, axe throwing, bows and arrows. We have a real bowman there this year. The longbow, the English longbow. We have empowerment in the afternoon. So people there that are, you know, very eloquent and educated in teaching people what their sovereignty is, which is absolutely important, you know. Well, what else do we have? Art workshops, clay workshops. We even have an unjabbed dating night for the singles, which goes down very, very well indeed.
I'm sticking my arms up in the air because I'm forever becoming single. My ability in the dating arena is absolutely shocking at the moment. So that'll be sorry. Camping and dating, I mean, combined together sounds good fun to me.
Oh, it's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, that was another thing of necessity, I suppose, really, because, you know, being a single, I'm a single guy myself, you know, it kind of, it kind of got a little bit difficult to be a single guy or girl, you know, anyway, regardless, I suppose. But when, you know, the pandemic and all that started to happen, we were reduced in where we could go for the most part, I suppose. But it, you know, it made it a little bit more difficult. But it also identified who we want to be with, you know. So it kind of made things, it narrowed the search down a little bit, you know. But anyway, yeah, so I started that off. And it's proven very successful. We're going to do that again this year. And they're all waiting outside the marquee, ready to go in and get amongst it. So definitely a necessity there. So, yeah, I say that with much, you know, a big smile on my face, because, again, a lot of what we do there is born out of necessity. So, yeah, that's in the evening. And in the evening, we'll have music on. It's proper. It's cheese ball. I'm not going to lie. We have karaoke there. We have 70s disco, roller disco music. So it's a time, you know, I think what you can start to imagine now, it's a time off for people. You know, the last couple of years has been absolutely harrowing for a lot of people, and it's changed the way we view the world. I mean, I think everybody can agree that's listening in right now, is that we always knew that there's something not quite right about the world. All right. So when we start to see the red flags, it starts to put us in that right direction of where we really should be looking. Uh-huh. And once you head down, ass up into that rabbit hole, you know, it can be quite traumatic for a lot of people. I tend to sort of say to people, well, go down that rabbit hole, but only take what's relevant. You know, because if you go down too deep, it can be, you know, irrelevant of what, if it's a flat earth or a round earth, or if who's the lizards, who isn't the reptiles, you know what I mean? Yeah. Things like that, which is novel and it's great and I understand it. But I'm like, get your boots on the ground, let's plant things and let's make these people empowered and then to drive them forward. So we don't really tend to have stuff at the festival where it'll kind of talk about, you know, Hollywood satanic symbolism. It's very interesting. It's very novel, but it's keeping people anchored to the past. Things like, I'm not really an advocate of QAnon. I think it was an absolute psyop. Keeping people anchored to the past. That's not where we're going. So we'll only have things that's going to enrich people there, make people happy, give them a bit of time off, right, and get them recharged to go back out into that world with a lot more stronger foundation of what they already had.
I mean, for me, that type of approach of bringing people together out in the country or in farmland and camping, amazing. It's perfect. When is your next event? Because I want to go.
Well, we got one. So last year
was... The dating bit sold it to me. That was,
yeah. It's the, and I'm trying to sort of get it out there as early as I can for everybody so they can plan and prepare. The last year we did, 2 seconds, I'll just get the exact dates for you. I should know these off by heart, really. I'm an organizer. The back of a fag packet. It's not real. I'm joking, of course. I'm very, very organized. Attention to detail. Last year we did two of them, and that was in the start of July, and then we did another one in the August. Now that was busy. That was very busy for me, and I spent a lot of time sort of speaking to a lot of people, sat behind the laptop, and a lot of logistics. So why I'm doing four of them this year, I do not know. I must be a little bit mental. Well, I think I am a little bit mental. You speak to other people, they'll probably confirm that. But anyway, going back to the dates, we're going to start them off in, the first one is going to be on the last weekend of April, which will be the 28th, 29th, and 30th. It's all on the bank holidays, pretty much. Last weekend in April, then we're going to, that'll be the Carry On Camping. Next one will be the Carry On Rocking, which is over 16, a bit of an adult one, that, and that'll be the, again, last weekend in May. I'm also a biker, and again, this was born out of necessity, because a lot of the bikers, as much as I love them, they kind of shied away from doing events, you know, some rebels, you know. But so I thought, right, well, me and Brett, well, let's do our own biker rally festival. You know, let's do it how we want to do it. So the Carry On Rocking is not going to be for the faint-hearted. It's going to be a bit of a free-for-all on that one. It's going to be very good indeed. And I encourage all people with hair, haven't got hair, to let their hair down when they come to this one. and then we've got the Carry On Communities, which is going to be, again, last weekend in July. That's my next project. Okay, so a lot of people that know me personally, quite closely, they all knew that it wasn't just about the festival why I was doing this. There was always going to be something a lot stronger and going forward. So Carry On Communities is all going to be about the building, the construction of a home, a homestead, everything from the foundations to brickwork, joinery, the electrical side, putting the roof on a building, you know, and that's going to empower people to say, well, actually, yes, maybe I can go off grid. I can unplug myself from the matrix. Yes, you can. It's what we did, you know, thousands of years ago. It's what made, you know, humans very unique and specialized, of course. Alongside with that, we're going to have elements of growing your own food, everything from permaculture to biochar, which is a really interesting subject, to hopefully we're going to have a representative there from the farming community. So we're going to give the people an idea of what's going on for the farmers out there who are, as we know, kind of struggling a little bit. So I'm giving an insight into what's involved with that. That'll be Carry On Communities. Then, last one of the year will be the big Carry On Camping in August, which might suit you if you prefer the warmer weather. And that'll be the August Bank Holiday weekend. Again, last weekend in August. And that will be a big bonanza. It'll be great. We're going to love that.
Okay, great. I'll get the details off you, and I'll speak to the bosses at TNT and see if we can get those events added on to the TNT event calendar to hopefully drum up a bit more interest. We've got to go to a quick break, and then we'll come back, carrying on talking about camping, see what the landlords in Dartmoor are up to, because they don't like camping. So stay right with us on TNT Radio.
You should hear what Hesher, CeCe, and John are talking about on State of the Nation.
The FAA reveals what caused the computer outage, prompting that big ground stop, right? It disrupted more than 11,000 flights. A preliminary review found contract personnel unintentionally deleted files, disrupting a key computer system on January 11. Computer systems, they have their little glitches, they have their failures, you know, but this kind of thing is not good.
I am not a big fan of what's going on at the FAA, as you well know, and I have been reporting on the nominee that Biden has still refused to replace, even though he is so not even remotely able to handle situations like this. He's just inexperienced, highly inexperienced, and he is just riddled with all kinds of dirty doings in his past and present. But as far as the FAA goes, they've been unmanned since 2022, basically. No real leadership there on top of the antiquated systems that they have.
State of the Nation on TNT Radio. A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. A cashless society means zero cash. 100% digital currency means your life is 100% dependent on a power surge and the internet. Every cent you receive will be recorded and every transaction tracked. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Welcome back to TNT Radio. Yeah, I had a quick look at the live chat. I haven't checked my emails. I knew I shouldn't have mentioned Flat Earth. I knew I shouldn't have. Yeah, bang! Here they come! No, Darren, you're asleep! You don't believe the Earth is flat! Ugh, every single time. Every single time. Anyway, back to camping on the real world. We're in the real world. Dartmoor National Park Authority has said it seeks to appeal a court ruling that bans wild camping without the landowner's permission. Currently, the authority, the trust, the land trust responsible for Dartmoor has said that they will pay £6,000 a year to landlords to allow camping on their land. However, this deal is only for 12 months. It's got to go back to the courts then, and it's likely that there may be restrictions on camping in National Trust lands such as Dartmoor, Bodmin, maybe up in Cumbria. Do you think this is a sign of things to come, Tim, with our national parks, where they will restrict and start restricting people's public use of the land, whether it's just to walk across it or whether we want to go wild camping?
Absolutely. I mean, this comes from, you know, the Right to Roam Act. And again, it's infringing on our civil liberties of our right to roam. You have to sort of look at the background of this. Is where is it coming from? You know, over the last sort of 2 years, you know, we've seen, you know, our fundamental rights being eroded. And I can't help but think this is another sort of attack on the van lifers, because what we've also seen, this is connected, you know, with the park and pay areas, where local councils, where they had areas of land where it's free to park, and then they start to introduce the coin machines. So it's sort of, you know, it's closely related to that. Now, I think to look at it objectively, you have to look at, well, okay, if we do have wild campers, are they sort of being considerate to the landowners? Are they wild camping appropriately? I mean, and that's not always the case. So again, for myself, I tend to look at things a bit more objectively and with logic and what's fair. You know, however, 14% would be reduced area, I believe, if this was to go through. That's quite a lot, really, isn't it? Now, on the other side of it, these are areas of natural beauty. People go and camp, wild camp there for an absolute, you know, real and genuine reason, I think. So if it's a national park and it's belonged to us, why have we not got the freedom of that land?
Yeah, and you have you have to ask yourself a question. Is this feeding into other agendas, other conspiracies where they want to concentrate people into cities and towns? I've seen a list today of over 100 towns and cities in the UK that are going to be made into 15-minute cities. Does that 15-minute city mean that they're going to restrict access to, like, for me, Dartmoor is, I don't know, half an hour's drive away, 20 minutes drive. Does that mean that it's too far away now for me to be able to just go and visit unless I've got enough carbon credits? If I'm rich and I've got loads of carbon credits, maybe I'll be able to go camping on Dartmoor. If I'm just a pleb, I'm stuck to the concentration camp that's called Plymouth. Do you think that's something that they are, you know, this is moving towards?
Absolutely. I mean, what I'll say on that is I don't think there's any conspiracies left, is there? I think they've all come true. Please find us some more.
It's because they are conspiracies, Tim. That's what they are conspiracies. You go, oh, no, it's a conspiracy theory. Yeah, it is a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy. That's what it's called.
So it's completely against their narrative. So we'll go with that then. I mean, of course, you know, with the 15-minute, it's a dangerous game what they're playing, all right? Now, with what's happening in Oxford, I think, in my opinion of this, is that I don't think the intelligence officers that are reporting back to the cabinet, ultimately, they're not taking note of what's actually happening, the resistance in these issues. As we're all aware now, the civil disobedience incidents that we're starting to see in Oxford, with these bollards being entered in, being set on fire. I mean, this is done in the daytime. These people have no fear of being exposed. You know, they're not wearing balaclavas. They're not having a ridiculous mustache they're going for it. So surely that indicators must sort of say and feed it back up to these people and say, look, we're not agreeing with this. So it's more resistance incidents that we're seeing that is now starting to escalate. So we're going back to Dartmoor. I mean, I live quite close, only 30 minutes away from the Peak District, and it's an absolutely beautiful part of the world. My friend Brent is up in Cumbria, and it's a huge, huge county. He's that trying to restrict people from doing what's naturally ours and getting their feet on the ground and enjoy life, then again, you're going to create a lot of anger straight away, that's for sure. And that's my opinion on it. I think it's directly related to the 15-minute cities. I did see online a proposal of other council boroughs at their own peril. I really think they're going in the wrong direction with this. It almost feels like they want civil disobedience. It's almost like they're antagonizing us into doing this. We're all aware, in particular over the last sort of 12, 18 months, of where the direction that they're going to go with the carbon footprints and the taxation of that. And I can't help but think, you know, maybe decades ago, because we had that, you know, saying, I suppose, that the air is free. Well, maybe they're capitalizing on that and say, well, actually, surely we should be taxing that, the air. Well, lo and behold, here we are, 2023, and they're attempting it, aren't they?
Yeah, you know? Climate change is almost certainly attacks on the air that we breathe. They find a gas that they can use potentially. They couldn't say, oh, all the water in the air, they couldn't really tax us on that or call that a poison. So they picked carbon dioxide. Carbon, people might go, oh, carbon might be soot or something in someone's head. That's how they associate it. So that's why they've picked on that. Okay. And you mentioned about how they're deliberately provoking us. I'm sure at some point in the next half an hour in our conversation, Tim, that's going to be a topic that we're going to approach. So we'll come back after these quick headlines coming up. We're going to be looking at the Ukraine war. I'm going to tap on Tim's military experience and now for an opinion. So please stay right with us after these headlines on TNT Radio.
What a news day this is turning out to be.
Let's finish it.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines.
Novak Djokovic is just one Grand Slam win away from cementing himself as the greatest tennis player to have ever lived after claiming his 22nd trophy in Australia. Russia's accused Ukraine and its Western sponsors of committing war crimes in the Donbas region after Kyiv's forces blew up a civilian hospital, killing 14 people. And drones have been used to blow up a convoy of trucks transporting food across the border that splits Syria and Iraq.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah. 24/7, 365. We never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Welcome back to TNT. This is DD Denzel on Digging Deeper. I'm talking to Tim Gill. We've just been talking about camping and his camping festivals. So check out the event calendar. We'll get them put on there soon. But he's also a military guy. And it's actually not intentionally a subject that came up when I was up at the event in Kegworth, the comedy podcast event. And we did end up talking about the Ukraine conflict, and that we are now sending main battle tanks, armored vehicles. There is now calls from Chief Beggar Zelensky for F-16 and top of the range, fighter jets. And who knows, maybe he'll be calling for infantry after all of his men have been put through the meat grinder. This has been called a game changer by the mainstream media. You can have a look at the Daily Mail, or you can have look at the Daily Mirror. Two politically opposing newspapers putting out the same headline that we are all united against Putin, the bad man. Do you think these tanks are a game changer, i.e. they're going to end the Ukraine conflict in Ukraine's favor? Or do you think all we are doing is testing the patience of what I think has been quite a patient Putin, a patient Russia, and that actually this is just going to seriously escalate the conflict and it won't necessarily be in the favor of the West, Tim?
Wow, what a proxy war this is turning out to be. We've seen over decades with the US and Russia on many different fronts, be it sort of Korea, Vietnam, so on and so forth. What direction are we going in with this? I think longevity for them. To look at it, I suppose, in a conspiracy type sort of way, as we know, war is a fantastic generator of money. Okay, so you would probably need to sort of think, well, the longer it goes on, the more money is generated, and the more sort of time and preparation for it for a reconstruction. I'll tell you a little bit something about Iraq. Of course, we're all aware of how that was played out, and that was many decades, believe it or not, in the preparation for it. I mean, the Brits were there in the early 1920s who surveyed all that oil down there, and many decades later they actually went back in the 1970s and 80s and drilled and put a cap on those oil wells. It wasn't until 1990 we got to the point of where the real-time sort of preparations were being done with the first Gulf War. As people, and I'm preaching to the converted here, of course, when we supplied Iraq with all those weapons, armaments, so on and so forth. And then we start to go into more 2003, where the realization of what that plan was. So a template was set there. They subcontracted that war out in Iraq. It was very unique in the way it was done. And it was named under obviously, I give them a good old slice of freedom, of course. And I think that's what the process we're in with Ukraine is, giving them a good slice of US freedom, of course. Longevity is going to be key there. You know, we know what the attributes of the Ukrainians are and how significant it is. And the preparation for that is going to come to realization pretty quickly. Do I think that it's going to be absolutely detrimental to sending the tanks in there? Not yet. I don't think it's in the best interest of the globalists, all right, that we have a mad situation there, mutually assured destruction. I don't think that's the route that we're going to go. Now, that's me possibly looking at it from a more positive angle, right? Because if, you know, ICBMs start to come into play with that, let's say we do go down that route, then who's standing to gain from that? You know, it doesn't generate money. If we go head to head, and I say we, because so far we're with the US on this, which is absolutely a ridiculous situation, because it's certainly not in our best interest. I mean, the US, again, I'm going to go off the tangents a little bit here, but the sanctions that the US imposed on Europe, you know, we've seen energy prices go through the absolute roof, you know, with this. And again, this is not our war. It's a US thing. I mean, Russia was never really a threat to the US. I mean, they're 8,000 miles apart, these two different countries. But they created that enemy because it's a great generator of finances. And they will continue to do that. And we know, again, not a conspiracy, but we know what the Rothschilds were doing. And they're funding both parties. So we're seeing that again. What's integral? I mean, we're now starting to see a lot more evidence with BlackRock being involved in this and funding the war effort on that. So I think with tanks and F-16s going in there, I think it's a PR sort of stunt, say, because the public will kind of get a little bit sort of insensitive, should we say, or desensitized, probably a better word, to the war, and it'll drag on and on. And so, well, let's put a bit more pizzazz in there. Let's send in the jets, let's send in the tanks, and then the public support then, you know, increases, and that's what it's needed. It still needs public support. Even though, you know, the illusion of democracy with voting is absolutely laughable, they still need that public support. So that's interesting, you know, point on it. But no, in short, my answer is no, I don't think we're going for full annihilation. I think Putin has been very patient indeed with the infringements. And it wasn't just... It wasn't just the infringements, I suppose, with NATO alliance countries that were on his borders. I think we all can be quite sure on what his intentions were when he first got in there with the bio labs, when he took out six of them straight away. So that was an indicator of what was going on there. And beyond that, you know, I think it's more longevity. I think we're going to see a lot longer confrontation on this.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the tanks are actually PR. I mean, they've sort of openly said that, you know, we need to, the UK are going to send 12 main battle tanks, Challenger 2 tanks, because then hopefully all the other countries will send in a few tanks. They're not going to make any difference to the outcome of the conflict. You know, anyone who thinks that the Russians haven't got the technology, they're Russians, their technology's ancient and decrepit. Those battle tanks are going to find out just how rubbish and decrepit the massive firepower that Russia holds is. And somebody, I put that sort of statement out on social media, and I got comments back saying, oh, the Challenger 2 took 30 direct hits from rocket-propelled grenades in Iraq. And I'm like, yeah, they're not throwing rocket-propelled grenades at them. They're going to put in, you know, hypersonic missiles. They're going to take out a couple of tanks at a time. So these are just going to get blown up as they land, to coin a metaphor. And then the industrial, you know, the UK are going to go, we're going to need to buy some more tanks. Oh, and Americans are going to go, we need to buy some more tanks. Eventually, they'll stop sending tanks. They'll stop sending planes. They may send people. So whether this will ever escalate to something like a nuclear battle, I don't know. But will nukes be used? Potentially, because the Americans have been working on
downgrading the strike capability and the size of the warheads. So they've got these tactical nukes that can be used as just like battleground tactical nukes. You know, they're like half a kiloton nuclear weapon, 1 kiloton nuclear weapon. I can foresee a situation where weaponry like that is used in a contained way and then using that to scare the world into compliance. And it is actually a prediction from the past that I'm basing this commentary on. So, yeah, the Ukraine war, it's dragging on. Do you see a situation where, quickly, because we're going to a break in a minute, Tim, do you see a situation where UK troops could be sent there and UK boots are on the ground in Ukraine?
Yeah, just go back, I suppose. Yeah, you know, what's not appreciated with Russia is that they're a little bit beyond the sticky bombs now, aren't they? You know, their technology is out there. It's a massive, huge army, and they're certainly not wielded 100% of their force on that, that's for sure. Do I see UK troops being in there? I think that would be the ultimate game changer. Then it changes from being a proxy war to a direct conflict war. I think if they rattle the bear on that regards, then it could change matters. Absolutely. I don't think we're at the point there. I don't think the UK-US governments have got the public support on that. I would also like to think that I don't think they would have the support from the UK military. You know, ultimately, it doesn't come down to the government. They must have the military support there. If you haven't got that support from the military and the police, it has to be said, you can have a lot of mutiny in there. And I encourage that. I'm certainly not an advocate of violence, should we say. You know, there has been a few, maybe I'll count on one hand, peaceful revolutions, should we say. This is why I always encourage people to don't alienate the police or the military. We do need to sort of keep them on board and their opinion matter, absolutely, you know.
Okay, so that's a good little segue into the break that's coming up. And for the final part of our conversation, well, we will talk about the UK military. We will talk about the situation in this country and sort of refer back to the conversation I was having at this comedy podcast event in Kegworth. So stay right with us. We'll be right back after the break on TNT.
You want to eat bugs? How about Bill Gates-funded lab-grown meat, in quotes? Yes, the great food reset has arrived.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
We're saved! The climate is smiling at us. Lab-grown meat harvested in massive steel vats edges closer to federal approval and U.S. dinner plates. Don't worry, the EU is also approving human consumption of worms and crickets. You will eat Bill Gates' lab-grown meat and bugs and be happy. The Climate Agenda Great Reset goal is simple. Collapse modern high-yield agriculture and meat production to meet net zero climate goals. As these shortages and prices skyrocket on meat and other foods, it's much easier to push insect eating and lab-grown meat to the public. It's a culinary future that will happen only if we allow it. It's time for the Great Reject. Don't eat the bugs. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
Chris Domine is a husband, father, an athlete, even an Ironman. But 10 years ago, Chris's kidneys were failing.
The doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant, you are going to die.
Chris received a second chance, made possible by an organ donor.
Your well-being changes from loss of hope to better times ahead.
What could you make possible as an organ, eye, and tissue donor? Leave behind the gift of life. Go to organdonor.gov, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
D.D. Denslow is digging deeper on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to TNT. This is me, D.D. Denslow. I'm talking to Tim Gill. We've just been talking about the situation in Ukraine, where the British troops would be sent over there. That would be a game changer. That would turn a sort of localized conflict, if you want to call it. That would spread it to other borders. The question I asked of the audience this weekend was, where are the British military? There were some military men, including yourself, Tim, in the audience. In fact, the conversation developed. I think one of them walked out, so I'm told. Never mind, he missed out on a great show that evening. Where are all the military men with what's been going on in this country and elsewhere? Where are the military men in the US? Are they all, you know, they're all in these different places all over the world, blowing people up for no reason? Where are all the military men in Europe? There's been a genuine attack on the public. It seems there has been some sort of coup d'etat globally. Where are the military men, Tim?
Well, I mean, I think what we've got to sort of ask with that question is, you know, when we're looking at the military, we're looking at saviors. You know, you can look at it from Donald Trump as an example. You know, he was looked at by some people as the new messiah and a savior, helpers. We're in this situation. We've got, you know, quite a large percentage of the population here looking for somebody to help us out here. We'll look towards the military, the army guys, but we have to remember what's their individual opinions. You know, if we, is a question, I suppose, have you worked out how, what makes us different from other people on our thoughts? Have you worked out on what is the common denominator of what makes a conspiracy theorist, you know, or somebody who's open-minded and willing to do their own research? I've looked at it, well, is it DNA thing? Is it a blood type thing? Is it a spiritual thing? Is it a star sign sort of thing? Something like that. And I've not really come up with a significant answer that kind of proves it. Because it goes across all the demographics, doesn't it? I'm a former paratrooper, close protection officer. We've got engineers out there. We've got teachers, nurses, so on and so forth. So we have to say then, well, the point that I'm getting to on this is, well, if you look at the military guys as a segment of the population, well, there's only going to ever be a certain percentage of those guys that are in agreement with what we do.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, now I do know quite a few guys. One guy that's already serving at the moment and a couple of guys that are due to exit the services, and they are absolutely on board with everything, you know, what's going on with the agenda, but understanding of what's going on, and very much awake, should we say. Now then, going back to sort of the question really is, well, where are they? Well, they are there, but you know, they're just not, I suppose, understanding of what's really sort of going on. They have a first-hand sort of knowledge of operations, shall we say, and what the intent is. But you have to sort of remember as well is that they work for the government, you know, and I don't mean that in any sort of disrespect, but they have to some degree an allegiance. Now, I was in a bit of an awkward sort of, and I'll openly admit this, I was in an awkward sort of situation when, you know, the Queen passed away. Because of, I know, I spent a lot of years sort of in much respect as a boy, being shown respect for the royal family. And in particular, the last couple of years, things have changed massively with that, with, you know, the corruption that's within that. And how, for instance, like Prince Andrew was protected by the Queen. That was not good, you know, and that certainly sort of changed the way I thought about the royal family, that's for sure. So again, you've got that allegiance there with these soldiers to the crown. And I get that. But again, if we look at the fundamentals of why young men join the military, they don't join the military because they want to be puppets of the government. That's just absolutely inaccurate. They join. A lot of young men join the military because they want to see a bit of action, all right? Evolution has not changed everything. Young men want to go to war and fight, and there's some blood, excuse my language, there's some bloodthirsty bastards out there, and I was probably part of parachute regiment. And it's just the way we are as young men. You know, we've had many, many, many centuries of being, you know, British men who've gone out and we've conquered a lot of the world. And we did that quite successfully. But you must have had that element bred into you, you know, to do those things. Anyway, I'm sort of digressing a little bit. So that's one of the reasons why you join the military. Not because you're an advocate of the government, but you want that camaraderie, you know, that brotherhood, that tribe almost.
Yeah.
And I think when I say tribe, people understand that a lot more, I think. Where are we going to go? Where are we going to go with the military? What's going to be the reflection of those? Well, let's look at Brazil and the coups that we see, or attempted coups that we've seen there. It's almost inspiring, isn't it? You know, we live in quite an aggressive world. There's any one point, you know, there's over 40 conflicts going on in the world at any time. So these are the times that we're living in. So can attitudes be changed within the military? I think so, but it needs to hit home. It needs to hit home directly to them. And that was the only things that changed, you know, the sheeple out there, is only when it affected them as an individual. That's why we rose up, because it affected my freedoms. I love to travel. So as soon as you start infringing on that, then you're going to get my back up, you know?
And I've actually seen exactly that, you know, not in the military, but friends who believed everything that they were told. They were one of the 80% that complied and went on, went along with it. I think the difference between people like me and you, Tim, and somebody who's been wearing a mask for the last 3 years is that we cannot be hypnotized. Somebody said that to me. 20% of the population can't be hypnotized. And I thought, you know what? I reckon it might just be that. It might be that one. We're just born a little... 20% of us are born a little bit different, and the propaganda doesn't work. But my friend, she had 2 heart attacks. That's what woke her up. And it may be the same in the military. Very quickly, because I've got one more question to ask you before we come to the end of the show. Have you heard of, on the grapevine or through people you know, problems with vaccine injuries and side effects in the military? Because I'm assuming most of them have been jabbed without any choice.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm probably not going to comment on that, because I'm not favored with what I've heard about that at the moment, and I wouldn't like to sort of comment loosely and sort of fabricate anything.
No. But we only want the truth here.
Absolutely. And I suppose if it's a reflection of what we're seeing in society, then there's going to be the same percentage in there, of course. But yeah, I mean. Here's what I think what the common denominator is. It's not that it's people can't be hypnotized. I think it's, well, I'm not saying it isn't, but I think the common denominator is this, is that it's people who don't like being told what to do.
Maybe it's the same thing. It's the same thing.
I think I'm probably sure. Yeah. I mean, I think what I'll do actually, I'll look into that a little bit more. I'll speak to some of the guys that are still serving in the military and see what they know about that. And then I think, you know, we can certainly come back to you and at least, you know, send you a message and say, hey, look, you know, I found out a little bit more, and let's get that information out there, because that's what's wholly important, of course, isn't it?
I mean, because it might be, you know, if there are people in the army, I'm a Navy guy myself. I worked at Dockyard for 15 years. Yeah. It might be if they start seeing their compadres, their colleagues in the forces, people from their tribe starting to be taken down through injuries that are associated with the vaccine, then they're like, you know, the army's actually hurting me. The crown is hurting me. And then maybe we can get a more positive response to what is happening. Okay, we're coming to the last few minutes of the show, Tim, and thanks for coming on. So I've got one statement. When peaceful revolution has been made impossible, violent revolution is inevitable. Now, I and TNT do not support violence. I talk in metaphors sometimes about Joe Pesci and his baseball bat solving problems. Okay. I don't mean we should all go in and start baseball batting to death at MPs, as much as that sort of something that comes up in my dreams sometimes. We've tried everything. We have tried everything, peaceful protests, politics, everything to try and change the course and direction that we are on. What is the solution? What other options are available to us other than a Wat Tyler-esque violent revolution? I got Wat Tyler.
Well, I mean, you know, yeah. Well, now you know why I chose that name, of course. Well, it was, you know, there's not many avenues left, really, is there, I suppose. And it is almost like we're being antagonized into this situation. It could also be said that if we are put into this situation, then surely that'll give them an excuse to impose martial law. And that's where the military will need to be either Well, not either, but they will need to be on board with those with that one. I don't think, you know, somebody gave me that scenario of would I think that in that sort of situation, and we come to a violent confrontation, would I expect a British soldier to turn his weapon on me? If he knew that I was a former military guy, would I expect that? I have to sort of say, because I look at things in a very positive and a hopeful way, no, I don't think he would turn on us. I don't think we're there. I think, you know, the Brits are a very unique nation indeed. You know, we do like order, we do like queuing, and we do have a strong moral standard. I don't think we're there as of yet. I don't think we would have that sort of confrontation between the British military and the British public. I don't think we're going to go down that route. But all the indicators are there, aren't they? They really are, you know. And I think, well, just a closing sort of statement on that would be more work needs to be done. More work needs to be done on getting that information out there to the British military and the police as well. Get them on board.
And we have tried, are they pushing us into actually rioting on the streets and trying to bring our governments down? We are in the great reveal, whether that's planned or just a natural, organic information release to the public. We will find out over the coming months, but we may only have one option left to us, and it may be playing straight into the hands of the establishment. Come right back with us on TNT Radio.